Now back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Sue Sellers-Rose, who is an experienced judge for the American Kennel Club. Welcome back to the show, Sue.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you back. Sue, if I remember correctly from the last time you were in, you do or you do not judge typically at the Ingham County show?
Not too often. The Ingham County show tries to bring in judges from outside. Judges that are in Michigan get used a lot in Michigan, and so as much as possible at this show, they bring in judges from the outside areas.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And what is it that a judge is typically looking for at these shows? I mean, what is it that makes the difference between a winning dog and one that does not place or win points?
Okay, the main thing is something called a standard, which is a written description. This is done by the National Breed Club, and most of these standards are many years old. There were a few revisions done about 10 years ago, but a lot of these standards are 50, 60, 70, 100 years old. And the main thing is to get the dog that is as close to that standard as possible. You're looking for how the dog is built. This is standing still, how the pieces go together. Then you want to know that he can use those pieces and not get his feet mixed up together, that he goes in a straight line forward, that he has proper attitude. And you can see this in their tail action, their general body demeanor, how they hold their head, the spark in their eye. You want a dog that is going to be extremely functional for what he's bred to do. So we will have herding dogs that are a little closer in stature, that have to be able to cut corners very fast to turn a cow, to bring a group of sheep together. They're not going to spend a lot of time on a long straight run. They're going to be turning and cutting. Then we have the scent dogs that are going to spend a lot of time with their noses on the ground, not their heads held up high, but their noses down where they can find scent. And then we will have sight hounds that do spend a lot of time going in a straight line and have to keep those very long lines, long legs from confusing each other, because they're after a rabbit or they're after a fox. They're after a very fast-moving animal that's trying to get away from them. And, of course, the sporting dogs are all pretty well gun dogs. Some of them are made to swim, and their coats must be of a type that keeps them warm and comfortable, that the water shakes off very quickly. They dry very quickly, especially in cold weather. You don't want the dog wet to the skin and shivering, sitting in the boat waiting to go do his retrieve. And even down to the toy dogs, they have a purpose. They're companions. And so not only must they match the standard, but the standard will talk about temperament and attitude, because that's what the dog is supposed to do. They're supposed to be a good companion, quite often for children or older people. And their whole job is to sit on their lap or run around their feet or just be a good companion.
Wow.
So it sounds like there's mostly, you know, it's off the paper, so to speak, but there definitely would have to be, based on the judge to judge to judge, some level of interpretation, right?
There is a lot of interpretation. Yeah. You spend a lot of time learning to become a judge by attending seminars that are presented either by the American Kennel Club or by the National Breed Club to assist you in interpreting the standard. Mm-hmm. And sort of telling you what's more important than what. Mm-hmm. So that when you read your standard, and it may have 10 or 12 very important things, something has to be top on the line.
And does it prioritize that? The judge going in there should know the priority of those issues?
Should know the priority of those issues.
Uh-huh. Now, you not only witnessed this, but as we've found over the years, you're actually a passionate follower of these shows, and you've gone to England, and just recently you returned from Australia. Would you say the standards or the approach or the judging in these various arenas here in Michigan and over in England and over in Australia. What are the similarities? How are they similar and how are they different as far as a judge's perspective? You know, how are the judges?
The judges are all kind of looking at the same things because the standards are very, very similar from country to country to country. The main thing is that I find judges tend to put more emphasis on certain points. In the United States, I found we're looking for an all-around dog. The dog has to perform his business, whatever he's bred to do, has to match his standard and have proper attitude. When I go to Australia, I find the dogs are very similar to what we have, but they carry less coat. Even breeds that are extremely heavily coated. When I go to Australia, you have to say, wait a minute, this is an old English sheepdog. The coat is a little flatter because we're in Australia.
The environment itself affects them.
Affects them and what the people are looking for.
Okay.
Affects them because remember, things like maintenance of coats are things that a person has total control of. If you want the coat flatter, you make it flatter. If you want the coat to stand out more, it stand out more. Because you do that in your preparation of the dog.
Interesting. And Sue, we've also talked with one of our regular guests goes to Eastern Europe in order to get dogs for different functions, police functions and what have you. And he's talked about the difference in countries where some are breeding the dogs, specifically German Shepherds, more for show than for the work function. And in other countries, they're more focused on the work than the show. How do they do that? And how does that, how does someone like you take that into consideration?
Okay, standards are the same. Basically, in German Shepherds is one that we find there's a lot of variance, and this is why they go to Europe to pick up the dogs. They're looking for a dog that is a little tougher, the dog that can make an extremely long run without breaking down or saying, I'm quit for the day. Because a police dog is basically on duty from the time the officer starts to the end of the day. That's an eight-hour run. And he has to be able to be out and do things constantly. People that run what we call confirmation dogs and dog shows quite often don't test their dogs for this all the time. They don't take the dog out with their bicycle and run him for 7 miles or 8 miles. Even when we're dealing with something as simple as doing tracking, and we do tracking here in the United States as a competitive sport, a lot of people's dogs are tired by the time they finish because nobody's spent the time to condition them to be able to run 4 or 5 miles. And when you get these dogs from Europe that are function-oriented, they are built and generations built to do their function, and that is what's important to them.
That's fascinating.
It's not that the German Shepherd that's showing up at the show can't perform many of those tasks, but the skill set is just that much more enhanced. It'd be right. Like being athletic versus being a professional sports athlete,
right.
I would assume.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And it makes a wide variety of choices out there for dogs, most of which I think the show circuit really does emanate what people are looking for as pets.
Yes, pets, as companion animals.
Right.
We try and talk companion animal and not pet. It's a companion. The reason you have them is for companionship.
Yeah.
And even in a breed such as my breed, I work with hunting spaniels. The hunting variety of my breed is very different from the show breed. But there are things that make them different. If you take the hair off the ears of a long-haired breed, the ears rise higher.
Mm-hmm.
Where the ear in my breed, according to the standard, is to be at eye level or lower. If you take a clipper and clip all that hair off, it's not going to come down to eye level. It's going to be up on the edges of their head.
Mm-hmm.
They will look a lot smaller if you take the hair off the back of their legs. And so you have a completely different dog by how you groom them.
Yeah, sure.
And people that are looking for hunting dogs are looking for dogs that can find their birds, find their rabbits, can run for a long period of time, can mark well, that's a mental thing, and they select for that over whether the coat is soft or has slight curl, or whether the feathers are 2 inches or 3 inches long. And when you select for any specific item, you take away from other things that are important.
Okay.
That you really
that makes
have
sense.
To have the total dog. A dog that is not functional for whatever purpose is not useful. And these are what you should not be breeding. You should breed dogs that are functional for the purpose they're meant for.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the sporting dogs are not kennel dogs. They're people dogs.
Okay.
And so it's extremely important in your judging that any variation as to non-typical temperament be eliminated from your judging. Because that dog's going to spend time on somebody's couch,
sofa,
the foot of the bed,
right,
or in front of the fireplace.
Right.
And if he can't perform that function, the fact that he's a good hunting dog may not be real useful for you.
Right, right. Well, that's good. Definitely information I didn't know, and it's actually encouraging if you're thinking about a pet or a companion.
Absolutely.
In this situation. Companions are important.
Absolutely.
You need a well-rounded animal.
That's fantastic.
And breeders work on well-rounded animals.
Well, talking about well-rounded animals, you want to close out this section.
Well, and Sue, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I want to thank you for coming back on the show. You are just a wealth of information, and I'd encourage anyone who's at the show to look for Sue, because there's nothing that she probably can't at least give you some pointers on. So thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
thanks,
Rick,
Sue.
After the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with one of the breeders competing in the show right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Peeling the years away and we can't relive it. Oh, I'll make you live.